The following program is presented by Connecting Consumers and Producers, a project of the Regional District of the Boklenichaco.
Hi, you're listening to Volunteer Hour on CICK 93.9 FM Smithers Community Radio. My name's Faith, and next up, you're going to hear my conversations with local farmers and people involved in agriculture in the Valley. Follow along as I interview farmers at the Bulkley Valley Farmers Market. I travel up to High Slope Acres to interview Mark, Nora, and Kate about the Groundbreakers Youth on Farm program. Then I go all the way to Hazleton to interview Darren, the market manager, and Silvana and Taylor. Then follow me all the way back to CICK's Volunteer Appreciation Barbecue, where I interview Lori Gallant about her composting initiatives in the Hazletons and why she thinks it's important to support local agriculture. So what's your name and what farm do you work on?
Hi, my name's Alana Zoller, and I'm from Living Roots Family Farm out on Kitsaglukla Loop Road.
And what do you love about your job working on the farm?
I love picking berries, and it's just so fun to see these delicious berries being grown organically, and I just love to pick them carefully and for the local community to just enjoy something that's so healthy and delicious.
Hi, I'm Jean-Guy Michaud. My farm is True North Acres. We're located in Quick. It's between Houston and Smithers. Me and my wife, Samantha Como, runs the farm and has a hobby, but not too much of a hobby because it grew to this size now, and we both work, so. Our farm is organically, everything we grow is organically grown, no pesticide, no herbicide, and we are a regenerative farm, so, yeah.
What's your favorite thing that you grow on your farm?
Favorite thing? Probably be bacon. No. We do have animals too. But it depends the season. Yeah, whatever's ready. But those cherry tomatoes are pretty damn good.
I'm Joe Hug from Healthy Hugs Organic Vegetables.
And Joe, what do you love about your job?
I like being able to work outdoors. I like being my own boss. I like being able to produce something that's helping people be healthy.
And how do you think the town of Smithers could better support local producers?
The town should build a giant root cellar in town, right in town somewhere, where we can store an abundance of food. I mean, if the food trucks ever stop coming in, we need a backup plan where we have at least, you know, 2 or 3 weeks of food to keep the town sustained, you know, while we think of another plan to get food or whatever we need in here.
Well, I'm Maria Varsano and Mitterrand's Mushroom Farm, but we're also a food processor.
What do you love most about your job?
Wow, mushroom is like super interesting because like when you learn something, you realize you don't know anything and you have more to know. So yeah, the mushroom, the fungi world is fascinating, and for us it's fantastic because we harvest and then we process and we make some medicinal mushrooms and we extract the medicinal compound. So it's been really interesting to learn and follow the trend because it's really like we are right now in an era we call shroom boom. Yeah.
That's awesome. What challenges has your farm faced over the years?
That's an excellent question. Well, I mean, I think most of the farmers in the north knows that the supply chain and distribution is really difficult, and also the cost of operating. We do sustain the higher costs for farmers, and just to get, you know, your grains or like your supplies or your substrate to do to perform your crop. Yeah.
Cool. And how do you think our local government could help better support local producers?
Well, first, like already when all those programs with agri and everything, they tend to focus really on the island or like lower mainland where like it's where the agriculture all is. But like we've been noticing like the past 5-10 years that food security is a really big thing in the north, and we really need food producers so we can be sustainable and like have food security around here. We know like with that closing of the highway like 2-3 years ago, it was just like crazy, like we didn't have any food food delivery for a while. So I think they should finance and give subvention. I can't say it, but like they should definitely try to focus on small or remote relocation where like we need to be sustainable and food security.
So my name is Robin, and with my partner Kyle, we run Righteous Path Produce.
Cool. So what do you love about your job?
Oh, so much. I love growing food, for one. I love being a part of my community. I love feeding my community and just being involved. Yeah.
Cool. And how has your job or your farm changed over the years that you've been doing this?
So we've been at this for about 4 or 5 years. We were doing it a little bit in Ontario before we moved here. So we've been doing it here for 3 years. And each year it just seems we've gotten a little bit bigger and more people know us from around town and are excited to see us on Saturdays. And I think that's really cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm Josie Zamberg. I'm from River Run Farm.
Awesome. Have you faced any challenges particularly this year?
It was really slow this year with the cold weather and the lack of moisture, but we're lucky we have irrigation rights to water, so that's been nice. But yeah, it's just really slow with the freezing and things. Yep.
And how can the town of Smithers better support local producers, in your opinion?
I don't know that one. I'd have to think more.
What about the government in general?
The government in general. So like we also like are a small farm. Like we have beef and poultry and things. And they have. I think they're trying to take away like our right to sign for people's. What's it called? Farm status for haying and things like that. And it's already hard to find like an affordable with fuel prices and everything. So to hay other people's farms and incentives for them. And they're just slowly making it harder for us to want to do that. So things like that, little things like that, that add up. So yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Have a good day. Could you introduce your name and what you do?
It's always a complicated. Well, my name is Mark Fisher. That one's easy. Mark Fisher. I own and operate High Slope Acres. And what do I do? A little bit of everything. But I guess with food and farm stuff, I have a market garden type operation, which has kind of transitioned a bit more to flowers. And then I'm involved with Groundbreakers and Youth on Farms program and farmers market and different food things in the valley.
Cool. And what do you do for Groundbreakers and Youth on Farms?
Well, this year I guess we're called the program manager. So we have two youth coordinators, and we're part of the Youth on Farms, which basically connect the young people who are interested in farming with producers and try to help some of the producers with some of their staff needs, and then also giving the young people experience on different types of farms in the valley. So just supporting them however they need. Transportation's an issue this year. We've got some younger people working on Youth on Farms that have some transportation challenges. So we're going to be trying to get something in place where the people that want to work can get out to the different farms, and that's going to help the producers as well and give the people experience. Yeah, so basically whatever needs to be done. It's an evolving program, and this year it's really evolving. We've had, say, 2 to 5 young people over the years each year. This year we have 7, so Wow. We have the opportunity to kind of take advantage of that energy and number of people to work on systems, but also awareness and kind of create a little bit more of a vibe and for young people too. So that's another thing that the youth coordinators are working on this year, is just create a support network for the people working on farms.
Cool. And Mark, tell us, how did you get connected with Groundbreakers in the first place? Because we talked earlier, and it seems like you've had quite a few different career paths in your life. We mentioned catering and various things.
Yeah, I've done lots of stuff. Most of the stuff has been around food or people. Mm. So I think it was 2011 or 10. There was just a group of us that got together that saw the need for a food farm specific organization. There's lots of different organizations, certainly in the valley, but elsewhere too, like 4-H is great, and the Smithers Farmers Institute is great. Lots of different associations that do different things, but they're very specific in what they do. And so we wanted an organization that could be kind of an umbrella organization to any new ideas. It didn't necessarily have to be a specific thing, but maybe a new thing and didn't fit into anything else. And then being a nonprofit that we could potentially support that through, you know, looking for grants to do pilot projects or specific community projects around food and farm. So in 2011, we got together and started Groundbreakers. At that time, we didn't know what was going to happen, but it ended up being two different organizations. One was a multi-producer CSA, so we had 9 producers that put together a harvest box, and we worked together to do harvest boxes over the winter. And we did that for 3 years. We had a coordinator, a paid coordinator, and then we worked with the producers to do that. And that was a social enterprise. And then the second thing that came out of that process of starting Groundbreakers was a nonprofit educational organization. And that one continued since that time. Mm-hmm. One of the things that was in that original kind of planning process was the Youth on Farms in a different iteration. We didn't know exactly what it was going to be like, whether it was just kind of a helping out with hit missions, a bunch of people going to different farms, or else like a work training program. And it evolved into what it is today with different people have been involved. It's been around for a while, and each year it's evolving, and who knows where it's going to go.
That's really cool. And why do you think it's specifically important to involve kids and youth on farms and in learning about agriculture?
Yeah, well, I could go on for days on that one, but at the end of the day, it's really simple. Like, it's food. And yeah, in today's world, it's not so, career paths and how we use our time is not so obvious. Like, there's these financial pressures and social pressures or even geographical pressures where people want to be. And but wherever you are and whatever you're doing and whatever your income is, you got to eat. But not as many people are growing it. People always say support local and all that sort of stuff. We're lucky in the Bulkley Valley where demand far exceeds supply. So I think the challenge is not necessarily getting more people to consume local products. The challenge is we need more people to produce local products. But because of those other things I was just talking about, like geographic and financial pressures and stuff, people don't want to do it.
Right.
And people make choices, but I think I just like to see young people making a choice, which they can not only, you know, have a good occupation, but they can feed themselves. Like, people talk about freedom and sustainability and stuff like that. There's nothing more free, nothing more sustainable from an environmental perspective or anything than producing food. Mm-hmm. Like, it's one of the best things there are, you know, zero waste. There's a lot of benefits to doing that. And I think the fewer people that do it, the worse off we're going to be. So the more people that do it, the better off we'll be. So that's why I want to just promote that with young people. Yeah.
And for people who don't know, have never been to your farm, could you just describe where we are, the hill, and how you have such a unique landscape that you work on?
Yeah, well, it's called High Slope Acres because it's pretty much a slope.
Big old slope.
Yeah. So we're up on Hislop Road. That's also the play on High Slope. And we overlook Ty Lake, so it's a great view of the valley. We're in between Telco and Smithers, so Telco and Smithers often 2-degree difference in temperature, and we're usually right in the middle. That's a south-facing slope, so even though we're higher up, we get that radiant heat. So we grow things pretty good here. Water is, up until last year, it's been not a problem. There's sometimes we've had to be more aware. Last year, we totally ran dry. This year it's holding so far, but I've also put in systems over the years that, you know, you can see this stuff coming. It's nothing, like, we shouldn't be surprised on these challenges that we're facing, certainly due to climate change and stuff like that. So over the years, kind of seen these things coming. So changed a few things, added a few things. So water is a little bit an issue, but managing. It's a great spot. Got about 3-ish acres in production, including the stuff that's fallow. Part of that sustainability question, just always leaving stuff to regenerate or cover crop or whatever.
And as you've been working with groundbreakers, even with this Canada Summer Student Grant. How have you felt supported by the governments in how they support local agriculture?
Yeah, again, I think in our area we are lucky, both because there's the population is aware of the benefits of local production, so that kind of translate into local government. There's an agriculture plan. The regional district of Balkland-Chaco has an ag plan. They have an ag committee and the rural committee. They look at all the different ways that they can support, and they're big advocates for different things around farming. We have lots of associations, so the cattlemen and the farmers institutes and 4-H's and stuff like that. So community-based stuff is really strong, and I think the governments recognize those efforts and the advantage of having those organizations and support them, whether it be through little grants or maybe, you know, getting people together to talk about the issues. When there are issues like drought or wildfire, then the lens that local governments, certainly the regional district and the municipalities too, although it's less relevant in the municipalities, but certainly the regional district has a really good they advocate with that farming lens on all different policies, so not just around like water and recovery if there's a wildfire and like fencing and stuff like that, but all different types of things, so like transportation issues. And yeah, I think we got some good representation in the local level. The federal and provincial, our local reps are supportive of local agriculture. They shop local. They advocate for it as well. In terms of support for, you know, climate change and weather related events, it's pretty good. Both federal and provincial governments are looking at programs. A lot of times things don't necessarily help the smaller producers, so I think there could be work done on that. Yeah, that's about it.
Cool. So if people have a farm and they want to get involved in Groundbreakers, where can they find you guys and how can they get in touch?
Yeah, so Groundbreakers does have a website, bvgroundbreakers.ca, and there's an email, bvgroundbreakers@gmail.com. That's a great way to get in touch. And this year, like I said, we're trying to really bump up the program. So we have two youth coordinators and they're going to be really focused on taking names of people who are interested, so that next year if we when we get young people interested, we can match them with producers of who they that type of farm that they want to work on. So yeah, they can get in touch that way. They can call me at the farmers market. You can call me at home. Or email, you know, High Slope Acres. It's a small town, so that's kind of the way it works, fortunately. But yeah, anybody interested. Just we're trying to grow the program both from a participant point of view and also a producer point of view, just to really support and then get ideas too. So how can Groundbreakers support when, you know, maintaining the theme of like the relationship between young workers getting experience but also supporting producers. So if there's ideas on how to do that, then I'd like to talk about that.
Cool. Yeah. And lastly, is there anything else you want to plug? Any events or anything that's going on?
Well, I guess this year I've done these flower workshops the last bunch of years, and people come up and tour the farm and, you know, have some snacks in the flower garden, and it's a really great experience. And this year we're just gonna give that money to the Youth on Farms program. So Catherine and Nora are going to be, you know, taking registrations for those nights for Youth on Farms specific flower workshop, and they're going to be doing they're going to be part of the hosting. So yeah, if people want to do that, then profits are going to go to Youth on Farms this year. And then we're going to have one for young people, just kind of by donation, a free year by donation if they can just to, and I again build that little bit sense of community or a group of young people who are interested in, you know, being around farming and stuff. So
thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
I'm going to start by asking you guys to introduce yourselves and your job titles and what you do here at Groundbreakers.
My name's Nora, and I'm the Youth on Farms coordinator for this year. My job is connecting youth and producers. We have this year around 5 different youths in the valley working on different farms, and my job is to connect them with their producers and to organize workshops and just kind of coordinate everyone and make sure everything runs smoothly.
My name is Kate, and I'm the Assistant Youth on Farms Coordinator for Groundbreakers. So basically, with Nora, we help organize our Youth on Farms participants and coordinate with producers, and also we coordinate workshops throughout the summers that our participants can participate in.
And what kind of workshops have you done so far?
Well, we haven't done any yet, but we're actually planning to do one tomorrow where we're going to do some safety training, and we're also going to install a drip irrigation system for the Muheim Gardens.
Cool. And what do your guys' typical day look like?
Our days vary a lot depending on what we're doing. Some days we're out on farms doing floater hours, and that's where producers can hire us to come out and work for a day if they have a really big harvest or they have a particular job that they need done. And some days we're doing admin work where we're doing just computer work and connecting with producers and reaching out to new producers.
Cool. And is that pretty much what you do too, Cade?
Yeah, we pretty much do the same thing. Sometimes, you know, Nora will work on social media and I'll be talking to new producers, or the other way around. And we also work part-time on High Slope Acres, which is Mark Fisher's farm. And yeah, we are always harvesting flowers and washing eggs and all that fun stuff.
Cool. What's your guys' favorite part about this job?
I think my favorite part of the job has been all the connections I've made with producers in the valley. Going into it, I had no idea how much of a community it was with all of the producers, and it's been really fun to be a part of that.
What about you, Kate?
Well, I really like being outside, so I'd say that's one of my favorite parts of the job, but similar to Nora, I just really like being connected with the local food and agriculture community. I think it's pretty cool.
Have you guys had any particular challenges working the job so far this summer?
I think a big learning curve for me this year has been communication and different forms of communication and what works with different people. Some people prefer phone calls, some people prefer emails, and that's definitely been something I've had to learn along the way, as well as social media. That's quite new to me, and I'm learning all the tricks to that as well.
Yeah, I think communication is something that I've also had to think about a lot, because even though we operate within the Bulkley Valley, like, the farms that we work with are very spread out. That can be hard sometimes to feel like we're actually connecting and communicating. And then also, I think one challenge that I faced is that I didn't know much about the program when I joined. And I was not confident in myself, and I was not confident in my ideas. And so it's just over the last 4 weeks having to get used to sometimes saying things that you're not sure that they're a good idea, but you should just say it anyway because you never know. It's better to say it than not say it.
And what kind of things have you guys learned this summer? Have you learned anything that's surprised you or that you think that you'll incorporate in any of your own growing adventures in the future?
I've definitely learned a lot about flowers because we work a lot with Mark Fisher. So I've learned about all the different flowers and how to dry them and stuff like that. And working on other farms around the valley, I've learned a lot about different practices for growing vegetables in the north and what grows and what doesn't grow. And then outside of like the farming aspect, I've really learned how to be organized and how to communicate and be professional with people. So that's been a really good experience, and I'll definitely use that going forward.
Yeah, as it goes for farming, I've mostly been doing I've only been doing farming work on High Slope Acres with Mark. And I think one of the most important things that I've learned is that you can plan everything and you can know exactly how a plant should grow and how to take care of it, and still things are going to happen, and it's things that you don't expect are going to happen are it's one day you're going to show up and plant's going to look weird and something's not going right. And you kind of just have to work with it, even though it's frustrating sometimes.
And have you guys learned anything about sustainable agriculture during the summer?
I've definitely learned, or more like saw, sustainable agriculture practices put in place in a lot of these farms. A lot of people are moving away from like heavy tilling and stuff like that. I'm also super passionate about sustainable agriculture outside, so I knew a lot going into it, and it's really neat to see all of the practices that I'd researched previously being put in place. So yeah, it's been pretty cool. I think a lot of producers in the valley are really moving towards those practices, which is nice to see.
And we were talking earlier and you mentioned that a big part of your job was promoting local farms and making those connections. How do you go about that?
Well, we just did a farmer's market where we were letting the community know who we are. I feel like Groundbreakers is still working on getting our ideas out there and letting the community know who we are, but we're really working on reaching out to new producers and new participants as well to let them know what we do.
One important part of our job is getting the community involved, and specifically because we're youth on farms, getting youth involved, because I think oftentimes people don't start thinking about agriculture and how important it is and gardening until they're maybe in their 30s and they have their own house and they have to buy their own food. And so I think it's really important to get youth involved when they're young, because it's kind of a time when you can learn a lot and you can also make decisions about what you want to do with your career in the future. And if it's interesting to you, you can carry forward with that. And also, yeah, youth are just a really important part of our community and they bring a lot. And if we can get them involved, it's pretty great.
And for a local farm that maybe is feeling like they're having a hard time connecting with the community or getting their ideas out there, how would you recommend they become more public and known in our community?
Honestly, I think the farmers market is a great place to go, not only to reach out to the community, but also to reach out to other producers in the community. I know whenever there's a farmer's market, all the producers are connected and they're all going over to each other's stands and trading things and stuff like that. So that's a great way to be connected with producers. And in terms of reaching out to the community, we are still trying to figure that out and how we can help producers do that as well. I feel like there is kind of a barrier when it comes to that, and we are hoping that we can inform the community about these producers and what they do.
So what do you guys do to promote producers in the community?
One thing that we're going to be doing is doing producer write-ups on our Facebook and Instagram to let the community know who the producers in the valley are and what they grow and what they do. So that'll be a big part of our social media presence, is helping producers reach out to the community. We also do our best to, whenever we're doing any public events or anything like that, we do our best to inform the public about the different producers in the valley and how they're contributing.
Would you be able to explain the Canada Summer Jobs Grants and how that's helped producers employ workers on their farms?
Yeah, so what happens is that Canada Summer Jobs provides grants to Groundbreakers, which is the organization that Youth on Farms is part of. And from that, producers are able to hire Youth on Farms participants, and they pay part of their wage, which currently this year is around $11 an hour. And then Groundbreakers uses the grants from Canada Summer Jobs to subsidize the rest of the wage. It makes it much more affordable for producers to hire, and also the grant is specifically for youth age 15 to 29, and so this also gets youth involved in local agriculture, but also gives them employment.
Cool. Do you guys have any events coming up or anything that you'd like to plug?
Yeah, so we have a fundraiser coming up for Youth on Farms. So it's a flower workshop. Actually, we have multiple flower workshops coming up. So we're working with High Slope Acres. And basically, you can come out to the farm and get a tour and also make your own flower bouquets to take home. And if you're interested, you should email highslopeacres@gmail.com for available dates and bookings. And then also we have a youth flower workshop, which is by donation because we just want to get youth out here and see what Mark's Farm is all about and just have some fun and meet other youth who are interested in local agriculture. And that will just be a fun social night where you can tour the farm and make your own flower arrangements. And that one is on August 10th from 7 to 9 p.m. So you should also RVSP to highslopeacres@gmail.com because we have limited spots, but we would love to see you there.
Okay, thank you guys so much for talking with me. And I hope you have a good rest of your day on the lovely High Slope Acres farm.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us, Faith, and thank you, CICK.
I am Max.
I am Brennan.
And you are listening to
CICK 93.9 FM.
From the infirmary.
Yeah.
Hi, it's Allie from Nature's Pantry.
We're proud supporters of CICK, Smithers Community Radio Station, coming at you from the BV.
Hi, you're tuned in to CICK 93.9 FM, Smithers Community Radio, and you are listening to Volunteer Hour, where today I am interviewing local producers and people involved in agriculture in our valley. Up next, you're going to hear my interviews with people at the Hazleton Farmers Market, including producers, the market manager, and Silvana and Taylor, who tell me about the BC Farmers Market coupons. And then we go back to Smithers for our CICK Volunteer Appreciation Barbecue, where I interview Lori Gallant about her composting initiative in the Hazletons. Okay, so I'm just going to ask you to introduce your name and your farm.
My name is David Slayman, and I'm with the farm business Quality Harvests.
And what do you love about your job?
I love doing something good for the world and being outside and caring for things.
Cool. And how has your farm changed over the years?
We've moved locations a couple times, and we're constantly trying to, develop the land that we're on and move to a direction where we can become more sustainable and I guess, there's been a lot of changes. It's constantly changing and we're constantly growing and moving into bigger spaces.
And what kind of steps have you done to make yourselves more sustainable?
As a business and, as terms of farming, I guess there's two different things there. So as a business, it's just trying to grow the right product and find the right markets. And from a farming perspective, it's reducing tillage and, trying to follow organic practices and regenerative kind of models.
Cool. And have you faced any challenges this year in particular?
I would say we just moved properties again, so first growing season on a property, so a lot of challenges come with trying to get set up and developed, and that's certainly been a thing. Running irrigation, building garden beds, is getting all the basic infrastructure up to speed, so I'd say there's challenges at every corner.
And what steps do you take to engage the community?
We definitely come to the farmers markets and we're on social media and we have a CSA. We try to create opportunities for people to come to the farm and see what's going on and kind of have that transparency and open door, and always trying to build partnerships with community services and, different folks who are interested in trying to help get good quality food to people who are looking for it.
And what's your favorite thing that you grow on your farm?
Oh, probably broccolini.
Okay, thanks so much. Okay, so if you could introduce yourself and what you do at the farmers market here in Hazleton.
Okay, I am Darren Percella, and I am the farmers market conductor.
And how long have you been doing this for?
Just since this market started in May. Okay. Yeah.
Cool. And what made you want to get involved with the market?
Well, my love for people and my love for good food and my love for the unpredictable and my love for being out in the summertime and my love for smiling faces.
Nice. Yeah. And how long have you been in Hazleton for?
17 years. Yeah.
And have you seen any changes in like the food production in Hazleton over those years?
Yes. I have. There is more variety of food growing and available at the market than when I first got here, for sure. Yeah.
And I've been seeing all these BC Farmers Market coupons around. Could you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, so the BC Farmers Market coupon program is put on by the BC Farmers Market Association, and they sponsor X amount of dollars to markets, and people are eligible if they are, if they have children, if they are elderly, and I feel, or pregnant, and people by signing up to the program are allotted $27 a week to spend at the farmers market.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Have you faced any challenges this year running the market?
Well, my own anxiety as to whether or not I will be good at the job or get it all done. But that happens every morning before I leave my house. I'm like, oh my goodness. And then every day it all just comes together and it's worries for naught. Yeah. Other than that, no.
Awesome. And what do you love about your job?
What do I love about my job? Well, I get to sit here in the groundbreaker's tent and be interviewed with a pink microphone on a thing like I've never seen before. People are just pretty happy, and I get to be out in the sunshine enjoying people's company and seeing people, you know, gather local crafts and goods and food, and you know, everybody just fares better for it. That money stays in the community, and it's just I love that I get to contribute by supporting it, you know. Yeah.
Cool. Thank you so much. Hi. Could you tell us your name?
Tristan.
So I see you have some of the BC Farmers Market coupons in your hand. How's your experience with those and this program gone?
It's really helpful, especially when I was pregnant and trying to make pre-made foods at home for my baby when he came. He really loves the fresh produce, and I do too, because I can make it myself. And it's a little bit of an incentive to come up here, especially when the month is a bit harder than usual. So yeah, it really helps, and I love coming out and seeing everyone in town.
Could you tell us your name and where we are right now?
Denise Westall. I'm Newtown, New Hazleton. I'm from Kispiox, and I'm here at Farmers Market.
Awesome. And how is your experience with the BC Farmers Market coupons gone?
I collected up the meat ones. I collect up. I am always getting a little bit of stuff for my salads for the week with the green coupons. So I spread it out with lettuces and that. I was very lucky. I got some beautiful cauliflower today, and so it really helps out with my vegetables.
Could you guys introduce yourselves and what you're doing at the market?
Oh, my name is Silvana, and we are members of the community agency that the community partner that shares the coupons, that handles the coupons to the community. Yeah. Yeah.
And what's your name?
My name's Taylor Blair, and this is my first year doing this. Cool. And I'm enjoying it.
Yeah. So could you explain a little bit about this coupon project and how it works?
So it's an initiative of the province. The province of BC pays for the coupons, and it's to bring healthy foods to people, especially people with families, elders, like people with little kids, elders, or people with, you know, need. So they sign up if they qualify for the program, and every week we hand them this, and it's $27 worth of coupons, and they can use them in every farmer's market in the province. the vendors will have a sign that says we accept coupons. So if you happen to be somewhere else in Smithers, Terrace, whatever, you can use the coupons you have, but you sign in your community, whatever community you are, you sign in there. And then, it's for fresh produce, for eggs, for dairy, for meat, and for honey. So it's pretty good, yeah.
And what impacts have you seen on the community with this program in place?
Lots. It helps all the farmers, the people that work producing stuff. It helps them to sell to the community. It helps the community to have access to good food. And with the prices of food going up, there is more demand in the province. Actually, I had a smaller budget for this year, but what the Learning Shop, which is the community agency that manages the program here, especially Brenda, have done is they have secure funding from businesses and other institutions. And so we actually had less money at the beginning, and now we are okay. We have a little bit more money than we had last year because the community partners have come forward and donated money for the program. So that's very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what kind of impacts have you seen in the community?
Good to see everyone out and checking out the vendors and everything. Mm-hmm. I'm doing sales and everything. It's good to get out of the house and everything.
It helps. People know they can find good stuff in here. Also helps for the market to become a social thing, right? They come here and visit. Yeah, it's very good.
Cool. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
No problem. Thank you.
So, hi, Lori. Could you introduce yourself and tell us a bit about what you do?
Oh, hey, everybody. I'm Lori Gallant, and I live in New Hazleton on Buckley Canyon Ranch. What do? That's a funny question. I do a lot of different things. right now, I am farming with my partner and also leading a community initiative for composting for food scraps. And we're also chipping. So a lot of people are trying to fire safe, like fire smart their property. And right now in our community, if you bring your prunings or your clean wood waste to the landfill, it gets burned or buried.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so we're just trying to offer people some alternatives that they can feel good about and at the same time create a nutrient-rich soil fertilizer that we can then use to grow food again.
That's super cool. So we just had a lovely meal at our volunteer appreciation barbecue cooked by you and your husband. And could you just give us a run through of what you've prepared and where all the stuff was sourced from?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Thank you so much. The main entrees, we had a sous vide lamb, which we then charred on the barbecue. And that was lamb we raised on our farm. And then we also had a Korean barbecue beef. It's Dexter cow, also raised on our farm. We had some rhubarb juice, which I hear was quite popular. Also rhubarb from our farm. And then we had some lovely greens and veggies from Quality Harvest and the Wild West Herb Company. So like all the dill in the beet salad, the beets, all the mixed salad greens, the carrots and the turnips, anything crunchy and green was from their farm, and they run a CSA program, which I also subscribe to. Great new startup farm out on the Temple High Road. And then we also had some corn on the cob and some watermelon and cantaloupe from the BC Fruit Truck. And I think, and then there's just the pavlova, the mini pavs. So eggs from my farm and raspberries from my farm. And then whipping cream. I'm not sure where the cows were that gave that milk, but it was very creamy and delicious.
Super good, yeah. So, Lori, how long have you been catering for?
Oh, that's funny. I'm really an accidental caterer. I wasn't planning to do that. It's just that people keep asking. Since about 2020 is when COVID started, there were traveling doctors and all the restaurants were closed in our small town. And so people that knew that I like to cook and have good ingredients said, can you prepare meals for the traveling doctors? I said, okay. And then the hospital said, well, can you also like cater our training sessions and our meetings? I'm like, okay. So it really started as like a healthcare hospital service during COVID. And then since then, I just do special events and like wellness retreats, but only if I feel like it, because it's not really my main business. I also found though, like it's a great way to sell our product, so I don't have to go to the farmer's market. I was like, I'll cook you food, but it has to be with my beef or my lamb or my berries. People are like, perfect, that's great. So that's how that all happened.
Oh, that's super cool. And why do you think it's important for people to eat locally sourced food?
Well, I think that there's been a lot of supply chain disruption. I think people understand that, you know, like the Tocotin River just had that big mudslide. That's going to have a lot of impact downstream. When it's really stormy out and you get power lines down and big wildfires and the highways get closed, that food trucks aren't getting through. So it is good from that perspective just to be a little bit more self-reliant when you can't import a lot of your food. But, you know, even aside from the logistics, it just tastes better and it's more nutritious and it's creating amazing local jobs for people that just want to work on the land and want to grow good food and share it with their community members. So I really want people to think of it as a really sustainable job creation strategy.
Cool. And you talked a little bit about the community composting work that you do. Could you go into a little bit more detail about that program?
Yeah, sure. So that's an initiative of MASH. That's a nonprofit that I'm running with some other friends in the community. It stands for Making Agriculture Sustainable in the Hazleton. And what we've been finding is that the soil's becoming quite depleted for some people, and they're looking to buy some fertilizer to add organic matter to their soil so their vegetables will grow better, so that they don't have as much weeding to do, so that they don't need as much water, because really the moisture that you can retain in soil goes up a lot when you have a lot of organic matter in it that compost can give you. So we decided that if we're going to do another project, we really wanted to make sure that it was something that the community wanted, not just something that we thought that the community should have. So we did a survey. We partnered up with the community college. They have a marketing field school. So they came out to Hazleton and they interviewed and surveyed all the workplaces. They went to like 57 different places. And then we did more interviews with people that were shopping at the farmers market and that came to our apple pressing events. And we asked them to rank, like, what is a great new project we could do? And we gave them some options and they picked composting. So like, well, okay, like that's the one I wanted to pick, but I'm really glad that you guys also want it. So we had this big open house to talk about, just to make sure, because I said, like, if I say I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. So you better really want this. So they said, yes, we do. Yes, we do. And then like a couple days later, one of the counselors for New Hazleton, who's at the open house, called me and he said, hey, Lori, you got about half an hour. I want to show you something. Can you meet me at this place? And when I got there, it was a big property. And he said, you could do your composting project here. You can lease it. I'm like, really? You just found me a site for this project? And that was just the beginning. It's like, okay, now that we have a place, the ball is in motion here. And there's just no turning back.
That sounds really cool. It's super important. How has the community received this project and what impacts have you seen in the community?
It's been a really interesting process because there's, you know, the word of mouth, and then there's the advertising we're doing in the Bulkley browser. And then we've been having an open house every month to try and like get people to come in. So yeah, we actually do these barbecues once a month and get people to come. And then of course we collect all the scraps from our lunch that we serve. But probably the biggest engagement piece was we went back to these workplaces and said, okay, how would you guys like it if we picked up your food scraps for you? And then we just sort of talked to them about how many times a week should we come. So we have some restaurants that we pick up 3 times a week.
Wow.
Yeah. And then like the hospital, 3 times a week as well. And then some places are just once a week, but they want 2 buckets, right? So that's probably our biggest engagement piece, is working in the food services world and letting them know that we'll take everything, because they're not used to programs that also accept meat and bones and fish. So that's a good segue, because the next engagement piece is around fish, because it's salmon season now, and a lot of people are wondering what to do with their fish guts. It's great to throw them back into the river as long as they're flowing and in the current, but sometimes they're not. Like, they're too close to the shore because people didn't actually walk in deep enough. But sometimes also people put them in garbage bags and leave them by the river, which is really... yeah, not good for lots of reasons. And then sometimes people just put them in a garbage bag and they end up in the landfill. I say, fish has super high protein, super high energy. It makes amazing compost. It's really high in nitrogen too. So we've been engaging through social media, Facebook really, and we've been having a lot of really interesting conversations about, you know, why is this happening? Why is there grizzly bear attacks? What can we change about this? What can the option be? So that's been great. And then the last piece of engagement was around the Kispiox Valley Music Festival, because that's a really big deal in our community. And we collected compost from there, from the hospitality. And in 3 days, they made as much compost as some of our businesses that we've been collecting from for 2 months.
Wow.
So that's huge. So all that stuff didn't have to go to the landfill. And a lot of food scraps too, like when we were talking to people, they're like, you know, it's great that you're doing this and we really support it, but we don't have any because I have chickens and I just give them to my chickens, or I have pigs and my pigs get it. And like, that's great. We're just providing an option for people that don't have anywhere else to put it, and it ends up in the landfill.
Right. Yeah, well, you've done amazing work. So thank you so much, Lori.
Well, I just want to do a big shout out to my team. I have probably like 20 people that I work with on a regular basis to make all these projects happen, from advisors to people that are like turning the compost. So without them, this project wouldn't happen at all. So a big thanks to everybody.
Thank you for tuning in to Volunteer Hour on CICK 93.9 FM Smithers Community Radio. My name's Faith, and you just finished listening to my interviews with local producers and people involved in agriculture in the Valley.
Thanks to the Connecting Consumers and Producers Project, a project of the Regional District of Boquinichaco.